Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is the lesson from Acts chapter 20, beginning at the 17th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, of course, the last couple of weeks, a great deal of attention has been paid to the election of the new pope. We saw pictures on the news of the most likely candidates before the election, and experts weighed in on whom they thought would be chosen, and thousands waited in St. Peter's Square for the white smoke to come from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. People were excited. People got overjoyed about the result. And immediately the news began thinking up a new name. The old pope was the people's pope, and the new pope is the calm pope. A new title, a new epithet. Well, we Lutherans know all about calm. We're not terribly excitable people. We don't get worked up about just anything. And so we hear about the news of the election of the new pope, and we're likely, like Martin Luther, to just respond with Holy Scripture. And we say what? Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there's no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. However, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, the Lord who keeps faith forever. But if we do want to get excited, as Lutheran Christians, we probably break out in the words of a hymn. Here's a good one for this last couple of weeks. The church's one foundation is what? Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Well put. There's only one foundation that our faith rests upon, only one foundation that our faith builds upon and relies upon and finds its hope in. There is only one foundation that knows where the future lies and has its assurance in that one place, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, to seek us and make us born from above by water and the word, to purchase us with his shed blood, who died that we might live. And that's what gets us excited and gets us encouraged. St. Paul would write about it, book of Colossians chapter 1, and he said this: Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. 6 verses, 13 times in those 6 verses, he or him or his, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. You get the impression that St. Paul doesn't want to talk about anything else. He does not want to talk about anything else. Matter of fact, it's what he says. He says, I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Martin Luther, the fellow that our church was named after, was much the same way. And so it is with anybody who's faithfully preaching God's holy word, even if they're not as gifted by God like Paul was or Luther was. There's one thing you can say that is true. Of all preachers and all leaders, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the message. But also, when it comes to the preachers and the leaders, sooner or later, they have to pass from the scene. And that is what we see in the book of Acts, chapter 20, our lesson for today. St. Paul says, "And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." He says that to the elders of Ephesus. You're not going to see me again. And in a way, that's kind of sad because we don't like to lose human friendships. We don't like to lose human relationships. We don't like to lose human supports. But in a way, it's good. Actually, it's very good because then our eyes have to turn someplace else. Our eyes have to turn to another friendship, another relationship, another support. And by that, I don't mean another preacher or another leader that comes along. But we have to go back always to the foundation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Now here at St. Peter, we know about foundations. It wasn't too long ago that we had to fix our foundation over in the fellowship hall on the east side there. And some workmen had to come in and dig things up. And as they dug things up, they said this was pretty well done. Very solidly built, but even as solidly built as it was starting to collapse. So they had to get in there and put in some jacks and jack things up and get the floor level again. And so it is with every human being and with every human structure, but with our Lord Jesus, He is the one foundation that doesn't sag. He is the one foundation that doesn't give way. That doesn't collapse, that doesn't crack, that doesn't crumble. And that's a good thing. Because, understand this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving the good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And then you have today's lesson. St. Paul says, I know that even though I'm leaving, I'm not going to see you again. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves there will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And so it has always been. Whenever Jesus comes into this world as he first did and continues to through the preaching of the gospel, the same thing always seems to take place. When our Lord Jesus was born, he was a little baby in Bethlehem and hadn't even done anything yet. And we're told in the scripture that King Herod was very agitated. And not only that, the whole city of Jerusalem was agitated together with him. Wherever Jesus comes, it's a lot like my cousin Ted. We were in elementary school, we were that age, and Ted and his family lived out in the country, and a large hornet's nest had attached itself to their garage. You know, the big paper things. And I guess Ted got tired of dodging the hornets, and he got tired of going the long way around the house, and so he decided there was time to do something about it. And so what Ted did was he went in his room and into his closet and he got out his bow and arrow and he went up to the hornet's nest and he shot an arrow right into it. Now, I do not know if that would rank as the brightest idea that ever arose upon the heart of man. But what I do know is that it's a good thing Cousin Ted knew how to run fast. Because he had to. And if you're a Christian person in this fallen world and the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, you get taught pretty quickly that God's people need to learn to run fast. Now, not run away, because where are you going to go as long as you're in this life? And you don't see St. Paul running away in today's lesson, and you don't see our Lord Jesus running away from the cross that he had to go to. We don't run away. We run to, and we run fast to our Lord Jesus. Book of Proverbs, chapter 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. They run into it. They don't walk. They don't mosey along. They run into it, and they are saved. And so you see the same thing with St. Paul. He's got no power over the situation anymore. He's not going to be preaching among these folks. He has to pass the baton on to the next generation of pastors and leaders. And we don't know what their names are. We don't know who they are. We don't know how experienced they are or how capable they are. But St. Paul says, look, I gave it to God in prayer. I commended everything into his hands. And now I have to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And now I have to trust in the power of the Lord's word of grace, the message of Jesus, to bring about the Lord's outcomes. And there's something comforting in that. It's scary to begin with, but after that it's comforting. Lord, I have to leave it in your hands. I can't do any more. It's got to be with you. And so he says in today's lesson, he says, now I commend you to God. Same word our Lord Jesus used on the cross, the exact same word, where he said, Father, into thy hands I would. Commit my spirit, or commend my spirit. Now I commend you to the grace of God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Because the church's one foundation is not impressive leaders or talented leaders. It's not big buildings. The church's one foundation is not impressive elections, but instead the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his true creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. And with his own blood he bought her. And for her life he died. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.